Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Gem of a Secret podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. Today, I am wearing a leopard print muumuu because at the time of filming this, I am in Canada for a drag queen story hour and a drag queen karaoke. It's also Vancouver's Pride weekend. So what am I doing for Pride? I am staying in my hotel room because I finally get to have a relaxing and restful Pride because we had 6 weeks of Pride in Portland and it was overwhelming. On today's episode, I want to talk about what's happening with Lizzo because I think it applies to a lot of other major life lessons that are going on. And I don't necessarily know the outcome of what's going to happen with Lizzo, and by the time that this is online, I don't know if there's going to be an outcome at that point. But I've been posting on my Facebook about how in this household, we do not cancel black women. And I want to talk a little bit more about what that means. When we start trying to critique celebrities like black, especially Lizzo, as a sexual, bigger black woman, cis woman, sure, but as a celebrity, we also have to remember that the consequences are not also the same. Like, so let's take somebody who was traditionally bigger, like Rebel Wilson, or like back in the day, like Adele, right? And if they had a scandal or whatever, what happens to them is different than what happens to Lizzo. The thing is, as a black person, it's already hard to break into the business. And then when you're bigger, it gets doubly as hard. And then when you're unapologetically both of those things, then it gets even harder, right? She's like literally a triple threat of things that should not work, things that should not be famous. Like, it's so rare when you see bigger black women like Monique or like Sherry Shepherd or something like that, like taking to the scene and like making a name for themselves in a way that like is just so aggressively unapologetic. Like even Missy Elliott like was constantly on a journey of like losing weight to be relevant in today's society. Even though these people might talk about how they don't care what you think they look like, the thing is music execs and movie producers and, you know, PR agencies are like, well, what sells is sex, skinny, and white, right? And so they're like, well, we don't mean sex in the sense of a big girl sex. We want skinny girl sex. That's what we want. And it's disgusting and it's heartbreaking in a lot of different ways. Now, the thing is, I would say this to what I've been posting online. If what happens to bigger plus size women when they do something wrong was the same as what happens to bigger plus size white women, then I think that the punishment also has to be equitable. That's what I'm getting at. The punishment also has to be equitable. Because what happens is to rebuild an image as a black person takes everybody seeing you as a non-threat, seeing you as non-aggressive, right? Seeing you as, you know, ensuring your proximity to whiteness in every capacity, in every bit of the word. Then as a bigger person, it's like, well, you know, if she lost a little bit, like, it's like then her weight comes back into question. Because one of the things, the allegations against Lizzo is that, and even though I was reading online, Lizzo never told any of her people to, like, lose weight. People said they felt pressured to, but Lizzo never said that, right? So they're even tying that in, which Lizzo's brand is about being, like, bigger and beautiful and stuff like that. And I did read Lizzo's message, and so I'm going to put it here for you all, just so we can all be talking same about what this means and how this works. So Lizzo put out a message that said, "The last few days have been gut-wrenching, difficult, and overwhelmingly disappointing. My work ethic, morals, and respectfulness have been questioned. My character has been criticized. Usually I choose not to respond to false allegations, but these are as unbelievable as they sound and too outrageous to not be addressed. These sensationalized stories are coming from former employees who have already publicly admitted that they were told their behavior on tour was inappropriate and unprofessional. As an artist, I have always been very passionate about what I do. I take my music and my performances seriously because at the end of the day, I only want to put on the best art that represents me and my fans. With passion comes hard work and high standards. Sometimes I have to make hard decisions, but it's never my intention to make anyone feel uncomfortable or like they aren't valued as an important part of my team. I'm not here to be looked at as a victim, but I also know that I'm not a villain that people are in the media have portrayed me to be these last few days. I'm very open with my sexuality and expressing myself, but I cannot accept or allow people to use that openness to make me out to be something I am not. There is nothing I take more seriously than the respect we deserve as women in the world. I know what it feels like to be body shamed on a daily basis and would absolutely never criticize or terminate an employee because of their weight. I'm hurt, but I will not let the good work I've done in this world be overshadowed by this. I want to thank everyone who has reached out in support to lift me up during this difficult time. Now, as apology messages go, or at least responding to public accusations go, this is actually a pretty poor attempt, I will say. I'm not blind to Lizzo. I've been following Lizzo for such a long time, and I think she's such an inspiration. But the thing about artists for me is I still am one of those people who believe an artist should do the thing that, you know, that they are making the money to do, which is to entertain. They can have platforms and stuff like that and make a difference with the platforms they have, sure, but they get critiqued for that. If an artist doesn't do much for their community, like Beyonce, for instance, Beyonce has so many, she donates so much of her money to charity, and she has all of these different organizations she's a part of where she's like giving back and da 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 da, but she never promotes that because what Beyonce is famous for is like singing songs and dancing and twirly for us, right? And, you know, she very rarely has an opinion on anything, which people shame her for. Then you have people like Lizzo, who is Black and an icon, who does stand up for a bunch of different communities. And then when they don't do something perfect, then they're also shamed for it. And it disgusts me because Black women don't have the ability to ever just be human. Like, we need to remember that these people are still people, and kindness and grace goes a long way. Now back to the kind of response, because it's not an apology message. Calling it that is kind of misrepresenting it in the media. This response to what's happening about her lawsuit is just, she only touched on the one thing that I think Lizzo's brand is all about, which is weight and body positivity. And the body pos movement has a lot of problems in it, in my opinion, because it still does feel like it's a certain kind of body plus type, even though Lizzo is very much about accepting all of these body types, and a lot of her dancers looked had different body shapes, and that was beautiful. But where I sit with this is that I want to make sure that when we are critiquing Black women, that we are coming from a place of kindness, understanding, patience, compassion, responsibility, and reasonability. Because what happens is when you go for cancel culture, then you have people who already didn't like Lizzo for being Black, being overweight, and being sexual, and being a woman. You give them ammunition to make it even harder for every single person that comes after. So people are like, well, Coco, that's messed up, a messed up message from you. Like, what if she was really terrible to her staff? I was like, then that will come out in the lawsuit. I was like, and then my stance may or may not change on Lizzo, but that stuff has not come forward. And people were like, but some of her other dancers are kind of coming forward with their stories, not the lawsuits out there. And I said, yeah, but some of these stories are really uncomfortable and conflicting. One of the things I saw online was one of the people who is on, like, who was like the most vocal, submitted an audition tape for Watch Out for the Big Girls season 2 and talked about how much of an inspiration Lizzo is. And then the community's like, well, that means she must have just changed her mind. I'm like, well, all of these things happened when she was on tour with Lizzo. Then she auditioned. And then it's like, now she's changing her tune. And that feels uncomfortable for me. And it's not because I don't believe any of these people, but being attached to Lizzo does bring fame, right? And so I have to wonder what some of these people have done. I do wonder what stories are true and what stories are untrue. And I think that will come out in the wash, as all of these things normally do. But what happens when it's over? Okay, so let's say Lizzo has done all the things that she's done, right? Everything in the lawsuit's true. She fat shamed. She did some sexually inappropriate things at the strip club. She made dancers practice for 12 hours and one dancer wet themselves. So now it's all said and done. The way the community responds to this is that we no longer support this artist. This artist no longer gets our money, gets our dollars, and their concert halls start to, empty. And then they fade into obscurity. That outcome to me is really problematic. And I'll share why. In my life, there have been so few people that look like me that succeed or even make mistakes. It's so heartbreaking to think that as a plus size, bigger person who's Black, that I have to be perfect 100% of the time. As a person who's been actively canceled more times than I could possibly even recall, there is usually no grace. People want to see your demise in a way that is wretched. They want to see you. They like. What's really funny to me about cancel culture is that the people that I have been canceled by have oftentimes turned out to be the worst kind of people. Like, I've been canceled by a person who is a sexual predator. I have been canceled by a racist. Like, and the things that most people cancel me for are like misunderstanding and mistakes. And they're really, and that's not gaslighting new listeners. That's just usually just the reality of what happens because people I do feel like think that they can get away with canceling me. And like, so most people I've been canceled by, I've been canceled by a drug addict, like an aggressive drug addict. I've been canceled by a drug dealer. I have been canceled by every which way type of people. And I'm not saying that being a drug addict is makes you any way less than. What I'm saying is when we if we are going to look at people we're canceling underneath a microscope, we should probably also look at the people canceling them underneath a microscope. 'Cause like it's not fair to ruin someone's life or to tarnish every single achievement that they've had without recognizing that there is more to a person than ever meets the eye. And we shouldn't be putting icons up on a pedestal that we do in the first place. I just want somebody to twirl some songs, and I want them to not be like the crappiest person in the world. That's all I really need. Like, when they start doing some really terrible, horrendous stuff, I think about the way that I run my girls, and I would never force my people to practice until like we wet ourselves. But I have been in situations even recently where I can barely get people to practice to the level that I think would be suitable. Like I'm like, can we practice a little more? No, I think we're good. It's like, oh well, I don't think it's where it needs to be. No, it's fine. It's like, oh, okay. And usually on show days when they happen, usually people will mess up or forget words or something like that. And it shows that you could have probably practiced just a little bit more. I think to be a star and to be successful takes a lot of aggressive amounts of hard work. Over my Pride months, right, we're booked and busy and blessed. And I'm not saying that other people's weren't, but what I'm saying is the hard work that I have to put in to do that. And also with a full-time job, it sometimes kills me. And I have to take breaks and I have to sit back. I mean, that's why even at the time of filming this, it's Vancouver, BC's Pride. And I don't know if I'm going to go out because what also sounds nice is just sitting in my hotel room, like getting some food delivered and just resting. That sounds wonderful. But you know, that's just part of this journey that we're on. So if you're taking away anything from this first part of my episode is in this household, we don't cancel black women. And if we are going to cancel black women, they need to have the same consequences as their white counterparts. When we are finished canceling somebody, what's left? How do we rebuild? Is there a resolution? Do you want them to come back? And what does coming back look like? How does somebody apologize in a way that you feel is right? Like, I don't understand why we hero complex our celebrities. It's weird. It's always been weird. I've never felt that way about celebrities. I love the music that they give me or the movies that they give me, and I can continue to love those music and movies that they give me even after it's over. I'm not saying that I guess a good example of this is like we all know that J.K. Rowling is trash, but the positive memories that people have from those books that they had, it's almost like people want to erase that from them, and that always feels weird to me that you're trying to take someone's happiness because it didn't end up being the happiness you thought it was going to be. Like, it's even like when I think about my ex-husband who was really abusive in a lot of different ways. We had some good moments. Like, without my ex-husband, I wouldn't have drag. And so to say that this person who actively hurt me, and taking away drag forever from me would also be just as hurtful, right? And And I know people are like, well, that's a false equivalency, and I don't think it is. I think recognizing that we can learn and do better, as well as recognizing that this positive moment I have for myself is still a positive moment, and appreciating that. So, like, even if Lizzo gets, because, I don't have any control. If Lizzo gets canceled and her albums start to get pulled and her concerts get canceled and she fades into obscurity, I will forever and always be appreciative of the fact that it was the first person I've seen in concert 3 or 4 times at this part. Followed her to Stag when she was there, saw her at Red Rocks and saw her at, Edgefield, and then saw her in, so 4 times, saw her in concert twice at the Moda Center. I've just seen her with bigger and bigger and bigger audiences. And because her music speaks to me. And people are like, but her message is important too. And yeah, her message is important. But that message doesn't change just because the person might be crappy. Like, people also need to remember that. It doesn't make the message false, especially if the words are true. Saying that, like, hey, y'all need to be better. Like, all of us need to be better. But the brand standing behind you want it to look a certain way. That'd be like Lizzo saying that, like, because a lot of Lizzo's dancers are black, right? And so that would be like, well, all body tops should be beautiful. That could be like a white person being like, well, then maybe you should hire more white dancers. It's like, no, all bodies are still beautiful, but the brand behind me, I want it to be black women, right? I want it to be plus size black women. So just remember when we're canceling and we're really inspecting these situations that we need to take a break and recognize what actually we're looking for, what actually we're mad about, and then also realize that we still don't know anything yet. So take a chill, y'all. And with that, listeners, let me ask you, how are you doing?
Hey, are you kind of sick and tired of going downtown to watch quality drag shows? We're bringing you a specialty drag show to your neighborhood bar at the Montevilla Saloon. It is every last Sunday of the month at 7 o'clock p.m., so you can see downtown drag just in your backyard. Located at 8012 Northeast Gleason Street. Once again, that's 8012 Northeast Gleason Street. Be on the lookout for more information.
It's a podcast.
Check it out.
Tune into what they tell you podcast.
Check it out.
And we're back, listeners. So, in this next part of this episode, I want to talk about kind of the events that are happening this weekend and a little bit about what's going on in my life. I have been very angry recently. A lot of it has to do with some financial things, some health things going on, and whatever, but I've been recognizing what's really hard right now for me is. I think that my passion for drag is changing. So I take it out on those around me because it just, and I know it's not healthy to do as such, but I take it off of those around me because I'm trying to figure out where I fit in the world. Like I talked about wanting to change my drag name, and that still might eventually happen, but maybe it's a new location, maybe it's a new place. But I'm going to talk about some of the steps that I'm doing to like refine myself. So I purchased Rosetta Stone. I started doing that because I love Japanese and I love anime. And I'm also playing video games online a lot more because I want to do something that's a little bit more for me. But one of the skills I want to learn is actually starting to get into more hairstyling stuff as well, because I think that'll help me on my drag journey of like trying to recognize and figure out who I am long term. I know that I want kids someday, but I don't know what that picture is going to look like. For me and how queer men, it's really hard to figure out how to have children because we can't carry those children ourselves, right? Or we could adopt, and that is definitely something that I want to consider. And I guess all of this is to say, when we're on a journey of self-discovery, it is okay to go in many different directions before we end up where we need to be. I know that I have done so many different things, and my life is really great that I sometimes forget that sometimes it's okay to just enjoy the moments as they happen. Being a human person in this world is already a feat. We've survived COVID. The planet is warming up. Aliens apparently exist. We're learning all of these new things about our planet and how it's dying. And I'm only 37 years old. God, it must be different, so difficult for those people, even in their 20s right now, who have now in their lifetime seen marriage equality. They experienced 9/11. They went through the pandemic. They've seen massive changes in the internet, 8,000 different iPhones. like it's overwhelming to think that people are not struggling to get through things. And then even in the creation of the role of an influencer. And I'm trying to figure out what my story is in that story. Might it be that I go into something political? Might it be something else? I don't know. I've also been looking at my gender identity and seeing if I'm still comfortable and fit in that role. I know that so many people don't get the option of exploring who they are, and I know it's a blessing that I do. So I never want to take that for granted either. So I know that this last part of this didn't really, like, it wasn't necessarily cohesive, and it wasn't supposed to be. The message is, figure out, listeners, how you want to move forward in your life. Because that's all it takes to do, is just taking a step to figure it out and smell the roses along the way. I'm going to go celebrate Pride here in Canada. And I adore all of you who choose to listen to this podcast. Thank you so much, and don't cancel Black Women. Bye.
Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.